Welcome to Where is God's Word with your host, Bruce Musselman, brought to you by the Mattaway Country Baptist Church of Aurora, Ohio. Bruce combines over 40 years of experience as a pastor, Bible teacher, and author. This program addresses topics surrounding the authority and inerrancy of the Bible. Here now with this week's edition of Where is God's Word is Bruce Musselman.
Well, so glad to be with you wherever you are, and thank God this program is on all over the world, and I am sometimes amazed at how this has happened. God just seems to have put it together. And what the program is all about, we call it Equal Time because the devil, right at the beginning, the first thing out of his mouth, he said, yea hath God said. In other words, he questions God's word. So that's his program to get you to doubt the word of God. And so God has just put us on this program. Somebody invited us on a station, and this has now gone worldwide, and I am astounded at where this program is now heard. It could be heard actually by over a billion people. It's on in India, it's on in China, it's on in Russia, and worldwide. And so our program, we call it Equal Time because people are attacking the Word of God all the time, and they don't attack the other counterfeit Bibles. They attack the authorized King James Bible. And God has showed us in many scripture verses, they point to the authorized King James Bible. Now, I want to say today, I'm glad that Brother Clark Block is here with me, and he's right across from me, and Brother Al Davis can't be here today. But I'm glad that you're here listening, all the folks around the world, and we have gotten thousands of hits on the internet and from all these different countries. And it just, like I say, it just amazes me. But God is going to defend his word, and he's going to uphold his word. The Bible says the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Now, Al usually gives a report on science in the Bible, and I try to give something on prophecy in the Bible. And today in the news, constantly, we hear about Jerusalem, and the Bible talks about this, that all that burden himself with Jerusalem, says, will be cut in pieces, and eventually the world is coming, it will come against them and attempt to, actually, they will even overrun Jerusalem, but at that point, the Bible says that the Lord Jesus will come back, and there will be a war that will be take place between the creator of the universe, the creator of the world, whose name is the Lord Jesus Christ, and the armies of the world. They will come, and they say war never solves anything, but yet it does solve things. It decides one way or the other about a problem that cannot be solved any other way. And of course, war is a horrible thing, but the armies of the world will be coming against Israel and Jerusalem. Now, when we're talking about the Jewish people, we're not saying that they're more holy or less sinful than anybody else. They're a group of people, but they were picked by God, and they were created as a nation by Almighty God. And God told Moses, he says, tell Pharaoh that Israel is my son. And I said, let my son go or I'll kill your son. Well, Pharaoh says, who is this God of slaves? I'm not going to let him go. I don't believe in him. And so eventually Pharaoh's son was killed. Now, in our day, and Israel was left go. But in our day, God Almighty has said in the book of Joel, he has said that he would judge the nations. He would plead with the nations over Jerusalem and over Israel and over the Jewish people. And so people are taught in the schools, they are taught HPD, we call it higgledy-piggledy derangement, that the Old Testament was simply tribal deities, and some people got together at the time of Josiah, and they got their scissors and paste out, and, you know, pasted these tribal stories together, and they're nothing but tribal legends. Well, they're going to find out that they are not a lot more than tribal legends. Jesus taught that Moses wrote those five books, despite what the critics say. And by the way, those books, when when these scribes that are supposed to have read it, and by these Bible correctors, at that time Assyria was the leading country in the world, and so they spoke Aramaic, and so you would have Aramaic words, but you have Egyptian words mixed in with the Hebrew words, showing that it was written at the time of Moses. And besides, they found out, they said Moses couldn't write, but people did write back there at that time. And so Moses wrote those five books. All the rest of the books in the Bible show that. And so they're going to find out that it is not some just tribal legends and deities that were pasted together. They're going to find out that Jehovah of the Bible is the Lord God Almighty, and his name is Jesus Christ, and he is the creator of this universe, and he is on the warpath against those that have taken his land. Now, the Bible says that God gave the everlasting covenant. The everlasting covenant was given to Israel, and it states that God has given that land to the Jews. It belongs to God, and he gave it to them. And their purpose in existence was to spread the word of God to the whole world. And even though they were in rebellion against God, and many of them today are asleep, they don't know what's going on, and yet they have accomplished and achieved God's purposes 100% because they spread the knowledge of God to the whole world when they were scattered over the whole world. And then in the New Testament times, thousands of them became believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, and they were in every country on earth, and they preached the gospel to the whole world. And sometimes when I read the New Testament, I thought, how in the world could they, the Bible says that the whole world heard the gospel, and I thought, how did the whole world hear the gospel in their time? Well, the Jews lived everywhere in the world at that time, and when they came to Jerusalem for Passover, they heard about Jesus, and some people estimate that 50,000 or more have become believers in Christ, and they went back to their countries and preached the gospel to the whole world back right in the first and second centuries. And so then there came along, and I'm going to skip a long period of time, but we get up to the time of Constantine, and Constantine says he sees the sign of a cross, and he said, "And this sign conquers." So he conquers his enemies in Italy, takes over the Roman Empire, and when he takes over the Roman Empire, he says that the sign is the sign of the cross, although it was a sign also at that time used by the pagans. And at that time, Constantine calls the Council of Nicaea together in the year 325, and when they gather, they discuss, and right before this time, I'm going back after he takes over, the pagans were invited into the Christian church, and they believed, the pagans, a lot of them believed in a high God, but they believed in lesser deities. And so when they came into the church, they believed in a higher God, but they believed that Jesus was a lesser God, a created God. And the Bible teaches that Jesus is the eternal God, that God is in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and that Jesus, as the eternal life, always was with the Father. First thing in Genesis says, "Let us make man." And the very name of God, Elohim, is a very is a plural form. And so always in the Old Testament, over and over again, you have the Holy Spirit mentioned. You have Christ mentioned, the Son of God. You have the Father mentioned. And so you have the three persons of the triune God mentioned all through the Bible. And so the Lord Jesus Christ comes to the earth. Now, Constantine, after he takes over at the Council of Nicaea, in effect that they decided that Jesus was God, and they had believed that all along right from the earliest time because the Bible teaches that. But by backing them up, he then manages to take over the Christian church. And so he said that would be the law, that Jesus was God, and therefore that sounded good to many people, and it was right, but he took over the Christian church. Well, at the same time, he was the supreme pontiff of the pagan religion. And I mean, this is in the history books, and anything that I say, you can check it out for yourself, and I would be glad that this program would help you to check things out that I'm saying. And so he was the supreme pontiff of the ancient religion of Rome, and he was the incarnation of the god Baal. And he put out two ancient Bibles, put out by Constantine. And this is widely taught. People of all sides on this issue understand this and believe this. And these Bibles were called the Pope's Vatican Bible. And the second Bible was called the Sinaiticus that Tischendorf found. And these two were believed to put out by Constantine. And they were written on vellum scrolls. That is, they were baby calf scrolls that they had scraped down, and then they would write on these things. And then they had actually, by this time, had put them into books and made books out of them. The early church started to use books, not scrolls. And so they had this, they were in capital block letters. And so you have the Vatican Bible. It's a book in capital block letters based on vellum, which would have been very expensive. And then you have the Sinaiticus also, which was on vellum and was in capital block letters. And they figured it came from, both of these came from the time of Constantine, put out by Eusebius of Caesarea. Now, the modern corrupt Bibles come from these two ancient Bibles. Now, these two Bibles, they call them the oldest and best, but so many people along this line, and they call it the Alexandrian line, that is the eclectic text. Eclectic means mixed because these ancient manuscripts disagreed with each other so many times that they call them eclectic. They for instance, Vaticanus that they use for the modern versions disagreed with the Sinaiticus, the two they call the oldest and best, 3,000 words in the Gospels alone. 3,000 words. And then some characters that they were evolutionists. They were dolly worshipers. They believe in bowing down before images. They got a spiritual blessing out of that. At least they got a blessing when they were worshiping with images. And these two guys made up a text based on these corrupt manuscripts. And they call it the New Testament in the original Greek. I hear young people sometimes, and they'll say, well, I go by the original Greek. Well, the original Greek was not original with Christ and the apostles. It didn't come out to about 300 or sometime like that. And it came out by, put out by Westcott and Hort, these two characters that were evolutionists and also into dolly worship. And so they use that text, and they use that text to put out modern versions of the scripture. And I'll give you an example of something. For instance, it says, God made all things. In the King James, it would say, by Jesus Christ. But Constantine put out these Bibles to appeal to the pagans also. So they took out in Constantine's Bible, by Jesus Christ. So it says, God made all things. And by Jesus Christ is taken out. Now, in the modern ones put out by Constantine's Bibles, coming from that, they take out the names of Jesus 100 times. Now, anybody that says that this is not an issue simply does not know what they're talking about. And that's why we talk about on this program many outstanding books that are, I don't like to use the word scholarly because a lot of times that's a word used for just Pete putting out an out lie. But these books are highly researched, extremely well done. And they're so well done that I think that God was helping them as they were putting these books out. And one of the greatest books out was New Age Bible Versions. And in there, it shows the difference between the authorized King James Bible and the modern versions. And you can check it out for yourself. I hope that if you do anything, I hope that prayerfully that you will begin to investigate this subject. Read. I don't care if you read both sides. I'm not going to advertise the other side For 30 years, I've been reading every book on this by all sides on this issue. And I'll tell you one thing, it made a believer out of me. And the modern ones are based on these corrupt ones. And the corrupt line, the Alexandrian, everybody along the line that comes along, and instead of just copying it, well, God wouldn't have said this, and so he changes it. And so the text is a man-made text. You know the NIV, which is the base, which follows this corrupt text. It calls the devil the morning star. Now, if you read the Bible, Jesus Christ is called the bright and morning star, and yet in Isaiah, it calls the devil the morning star. It throws out Jesus 100 times, and it even uses the it talks against, it plays down the difference between male and female, you know, and God created us male and female. And it fits into modern philosophy. And all the way along, the corrupt text does this. But we have thousands of ancient manuscripts, we have hundreds of church fathers that if we look at them, 99% of the evidence backs up the King James text. Now, some of you have been listening to this program, and you've heard some of this already, but we want to review for some of you who haven't ever heard any of this. Now, if you think I'm saying something new, believe me, you ought to read what D.L. Moody said about it. He was King James only. Charles Spurgeon was King James only, and you can quote them. I have quoted these men many times on this program. And you have Talmage. He said King James Bible was a perfect translation. He's a very famous preacher whose sermons were quoted in 600 newspapers every Monday after Sunday. You had Billy Sunday, who said his scholarship disagrees with the Word of God, and he was talking about the King James. He says scholarship and go to the devil. That's what I feel about it. And when somebody says scholars say, you need to ask yourself what scholars said it, because there's plenty of people in the books that we advertise. These people have done their homework and done their research. And some of these books, and I've read both sides, and the books that are written, I believe that the Lord helped them. There's some of them are so good. The books put out by Dr. Ripplinger, New Age Bible Versions, Awe of the Word, A Defense of the King James, Hazardous Materials. Every preacher, and if you defend it, if you believe in the King James, you ought to read these books, and particularly if you're preachers, and you need to research this. You're going to answer to God. How can you answer? How can you say that you go along with a counterfeit Bible like the NIV, New ASV, RSV, and all of these corrupt counterfeits that throw Jesus out 100 times? 100 times they throw out the Lord Jesus Christ. And they're modern. I mean, they come from the theories of just theories, and that's all it is. But the ancient manuscripts tell the difference, 99% of them. For instance, 1 Timothy 3:16, God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. And I'm going to say it, the Greek word there is theos, and it's always translated God. God was manifest in the flesh. And you know, they changed that. In the modern ones, they change it to he who. There's no Greek manuscripts that read he who. And they can't prove it, and they can't show it. God was manifest in the flesh. Do you know Ignatius of Antioch in the year 200, he quotes it like this: God was manifest in the flesh. It shows that Jesus Christ is God. And so the Bible says, in thy word do I trust. You know what this program is all about? It is simply saying that we should trust in the word of God, and we have the word of God today. People say no translation is inspired. Well, what about the translation that Moses had? He didn't use Egyptian when he translated it into the Hebrew Masoretic text, and that's the text that has come down to us by God that we have today, and the King James is based on that Hebrew Masoretic text. Now, what's some of the evidence of the Authorized King James Bible, and we go into this, and we've talked about it before, but we'll go into it again today. First of all, in 200, the Bible was translated into Latin, the old Latin italic text. The King James translators used that text. The Bible was written in Koine Greek text, and it was passed on by the Paulicians, and they used that text. And the Koine Greek text that has come down to us agrees with the text of the italic Latin text. They agree together. And then it was translated before by 353 into the Gothic text. And the Gothic text agrees with the italic text and the Koine Greek text. The modern ones are not based on Koine Greek. Any Greek teacher will teach you that the New Testament was based on Koine Greek. The modern ones are based on classical Greek because they were changed in by Origen, who lived from 185 to 254. And furthermore, the Holy Spirit says this. God said, the Holy Spirit says that the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth, and he will abide with you forever. And Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me, and a stranger will they not follow. How is it that this one translation, there's been 200 come out, and they only last a little while, and they disappear? This one goes on. I tell you that it is the witness of God Almighty. And he said, my sheep hear my voice. And just some college professor that is ignorant, and people, they're ignorant, and they listen to these infidels. And many of these texts are put out by people that are not born again, not saved. And the lexicons that they used to overthrow the King James, put out by unsaved people, there's a whole list of them. If you read Hazardous Materials, you'll read the quotes of them. Thayer, for instance, he was a Unitarian, and they're quoting him to correct the authorized King James, the Bible, the Word of God, and the text came down to us, and it was based on the italic Latin text. It was based on the Gothic text, the Koine Greek text, the Syriac Aramaic text found in the Peshitta. All of these texts and manuscripts, hundreds of them, they disagree. They agree with one another, and they back the King James Bible. And the Bible says, you say, well, all these translations, how everything man does, he messes up. Well, the Bible says that the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. The Bible says that the Lord Jesus Christ upholds all things by the word of his power. And the stars, we tell time by the stars, and they're running within a fraction of a second. And that is, those stars are upheld by our great God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is the one that is behind the King James Bible. The Bible says we can look at the perfect law of liberty. The Bible says we can handle the word of God. I'm handling a King James Bible. I'm looking at the perfect law of liberty right here, the perfect word of God. And it remains the authority. It is the authority. It when we read it, we are reading what God said. It's been translated into other languages, and where it's translated in line with the King James, it's the word of God. We have the word of God today, and English is the universal language. We have a universal Bible. And the Bible says that we're all supposed to speak the same thing. And these people that correct the Bible, they're doing damage to Christianity. They're speaking for Satan. They may profess to be fundamental, but and they never give any evidence for their correction. We have the word of God today. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. We have God's word. Thy word is true from the beginning, God says. And we have God's true word. Praise the Lord, and God bless you. Thank you.
You have been listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. If you enjoyed today's program and would like to receive a free brochure that lists 100 references where the name of Jesus has been omitted from modern versions, we invite you to drop us an email at sos1611@gmail.com. That's sos1611@gmail.com. Where is God's Word is sponsored by the Mantoway Country Baptist Church, located at 12385 Chamberlain Road near Aurora, Ohio. Pastor Murray Bay and the congregation cordially invite you to worship with them. Sunday morning services are held at 10 and 11 a.m. For directions or more information, please call 330-562-6600. That's 330-562-6600. Or write to the Mantoway Country Baptist Church, 12385 Chamberlain Road, Aurora, Ohio, 44202. Tune in again next week at this same time for another edition of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman.